We're here, baby. Pop, big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them homeless, KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA Takes. Yeah, let's get it going. Let's go. Woo, woo, 2024. We're here, baby. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. What the fuck is up? This was supposed to be recorded a few days ago. Your boy did not start off well in 2024. This is going to be a long episode. We're going to get into my best bets. We're going to get into all my numbers and units won and everything, my wish list for 2024, what I hope to improve on as a podcaster in 2024, all that stuff. We're going to get into it all. You probably notice it's a little bit longer. You guys deserve a little bit longer of an episode. It's been weeks. I'm rusty. I need to get back into it. And this is the second time I'm recording. I went about 15 minutes in the first one, and it said I had no disk space left. So I had to clear up some disk space. So it's very fitting that your boy starts 2024 with a little technical hiccup. Luckily, you guys will not see that end. But what's up with the what's up? I'm excited to be here. Started 2024 off as a... Not good. Got a little sick, boy. So fatheads get sick. My little kids, call them fatheads. They get the sniffles. We go to Christmas parties. We go to holiday party. I get sick. I had really bad ear infections in my early as a kid, but in my late teens, early 20s, like real bad. Ruptured my eardrum. Excuse me. All that shit. So over this past weekend, I'm like, my ears clogged. My throat hurt. I can't function. You saw the video I posted on social media. I'm trying everything to do everything to relieve this. It's not helping. So after work on Tuesday, I went to the doctor. I went to the, urgent care, which I hate going any kind of doctor, which I'm a weird hypochondriac in that way. I'm a little hypochondriac. I have hypochondriac tensions, but I hate doctors, Neo. I don't want to go. I'd rather just, if it's something major, die in my bed as opposed to going to the emergency room. That's where you want to go. You want to go to the emergency room? You want to go to the hospital and get sick? That's what you do. No. I got out of my own way and I went to the ER or not the ER, excuse me, urgent care. And, lady's like, yeah, you got a sinus infection. You got double ear infections, right? The one's a middle ear infection. The other one, the bad one's an inner ear infection. That's why so I was like a little dizzy and off balance too. And hooked me up with that steroids, man. About that, your boy's feeling good. A little clogged up on this side, but we're feeling good. I blew my nose at work, yesterday and, my ear finally popped after like 4 days of not popping, and it about took me to my fucking knees. It hurt so bad. Blew my nose, about took me to my fucking knees. It hurt that bad. But like I said, this could be a free-flowing episode. I shaved my neck beard, so my double chin is very prominent. My daughter wanted me to shave it, so I did. So let's ignore the neck fat. Speaking of neck fat, your boy's working on himself. This is going to be the year of wealth and health. For the past 3 weeks, your boy cut out podcast juice, right? Could cut it out. I had a little bit of an addiction. I'm a guy that's very proud that he doesn't drink and he doesn't do drugs. I've never been addicted to anything in my life. Had a little bit of an addiction to the old podcast juice. I was drinking way too much of it. Went to the doctor, got a little tummy problems. I've always had tummy problems. They were really ramping up. She explained to me that Mountain Dew can really exacerbate. God, I'm with these words today. I'm fucking killing it, right? Really can hurt people with like colitis and the inflamed bowels, which is I have a touch of that. And so she's like, we can put you in medicine or you can stop drinking Mountain Dew. I ain't doing mess. I don't want to do it. So I stopped drinking Mountain Dew. I've slipped up once, admittedly. I went to Taco Bell, got a Mountain Dew about a week and a half in. Other than that, been clean. Been trying to find new drinks I like, right? These little fucking apple juices, because I got to have caffeine. I don't want to give up caffeine. I don't really like diet soda that much either. I'm trying to find a diet soda I do like. I don't like coffee, but I do need caffeine. And I went to a nutritionist, and they told me, stay away from anything energy drink shot-wise bad for your heart. Don't want to mess with the heart, right? Soda's bad for your weight. Energy drinks, energy shots bad for your heart. Natural or not, I ain't messing with the heart, right? So I'm trying to find it right now. So I'm on Gatorade. I got Gatorade in the cup right now. Which is always good, but I like water. I drink water, but when I eat, I need a little taster. But podcast juice as of 2024, boys, it's over. So go to MMA Takes Podcast, buy the podcast juice shirt because there could be a new podcast juice in the future when I find something I like, but right now, she's toast. Sorry, she's out. She's out, boys. Gotta get on with the old healthy health here. You know, 37, trying to get a fight by the time I'm 40. And speaking of fighting, if you've been with me for a while, you know I love boxing gloves. I've been training, turning basically my garage into a gym, right? The Striking Robot, which we'll get to later. You know, all that shit. And I love winning gloves from Japan. I've literally don't ask favors ever. Asked my guy Kenny Florian for a favor. He told me he had a hookup in Japan. This is months ago. He got back to me, said, and I want the green ones, right? The green Manny Pacquiao back in the day would spar in these, and it just has been burned in my brain for over the 10 years. And Kenny's like, yeah, he said he can get you the green ones and this and this and this. This is what it would cost, which was very reasonable, but it would be like 18 months. Crazy, right? I'm the most impatient fucking guy in the world. Can't wait 18 months. So then I was like, yeah, I appreciate it, Kenny. I just can't wait 18 months, man. So I went and got custom pair, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, again, I'm obsessed with the stuff. I like the gear. Come day after Christmas, I'm on MSMFightShop.com. I follow him on Instagram. You should too. Pro Fight Shop out of Florida. Great guys. Cool dudes. I've emailed him before. Said, hey, let me know if you get these in. So I see an Instagram post. They just got a shipment in just that day of all these different custom winning colors. Right. And of course, they're a little overpriced because they got to make their nut. They got to make their, you know, they got to make their money back. But they had a green pair. Now, they're not lace up. I prefer lace up, if I'm being honest with you. But we got them. We fucking got them, baby. Look how fucking beautiful these are. Oh, my God. As you can see, I haven't used them yet because I'm lazy and I'm sick. But, man. This green with this butter leather, just, I mean, it's pillows, bro. These are pillows. Protect your training partners. These are the sexiest things I've ever seen. I got them. I got them. And with that being said, I am giving away these. These are Canelo's brand, right? No boxing, no life. Mexican style. Look at the pretty colors. I'm giving these away. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet. When we hit 2,000 subs, maybe we're close, but we're kind of far away. These will be given to anybody that wants them. And we're going to maybe do a contest. I don't know how yet, but if you're watching this video and you're like, yo, those are dope. Listen, these are, what are these? These are 10 ounces, so you can fight in them if you want. They're bag gloves, mostly mitt gloves, whatever. Mexican style, so they have the horsehair. Really pretty colors. And tough to get. They're not the best gloves in the world, I'll admit, right? You might like them. For my hands, they're not the best, but they look amazing. They feel pretty good. They're just stiff, right? You definitely can't spar in these or anything. Like I say, you can fight in them. These are what Canelo does when he fights, and you can hit the bag with them. But yeah, they're just a really pretty glove. They used to hang up on the wall right here, but I got the Cleto Reyes over there now. So yeah, I'm going to give these away just to whoever. No cost, no nothing. I'll ship them to you for free. Within the United States, if you, I know I got some Australia boys out there, and I love my Australian guys, but if you want these, you might have to pay for the shipping because that's a bit far away. But these will be yours, so I'm just gonna give them away. I don't need them. I got too many, right? And quite frankly, they're just you know, I got these fat fucking hands, so they're not great on my hands. But I got the winnings, boys. And the first person I text when I got those was Kenny Florian. He was fucking pumped for me. If you're in the boxing business, you're in the training business. My daughter's knocking on the door. You know how special winnings are. I mean, they're unreal. And this is the year of wealth. It's the year of health. This year of me training, it's me getting back in shape. I'm excited. Again, out of the 290s, almost in the 270s, just from drinking, stopped drinking Mountain Dew. I haven't really done much because, you know, I've worked and stuff, but I'm a little sick, so I haven't really done much. But the year of BP, baby. I'm going to get fucking yoked. You're gonna see me at the end of the year. And I'll probably start just doing the show shirtless, just sitting here, just fucking cock diesel, baby. Cock fucking diesel. All right, so we got a lot to get to. I'm having fun. I haven't talked to you boys in a while. Having fun. Yeah, so this is the MMA, Bet MMA tips. I'm going to read off this in a minute. I did my own math of what I pick because Tatum Temple, who's a saint, by the way, she tracks all my picks for me on Bet MMA tips. And the easiest way to do it was she just takes every pick I make on the website and puts them in, or every pick I make on the podcast, she puts them in the website with the parlays and with the green hammer as well. Obviously, I'm not betting every fight, so the numbers are a little skew. So I did my picks and my bets and everything right here, and how many units I'm down. So picks percentage. My goal was 60%. We almost got there. 59.5% on overall picks. That's not bets. That's just every fight I picked this year, I almost hit 60% on my bet on my picks, not my bets. I want to clarify that. I'm not 60% on my bets. 59.5% on my bets, right? I feel like in math, and I'm really bad at math, but I feel like they told you when you were at like 0.5, you can round up. So can we round up to 60? But it's 59.5. I'm going to say 60%. Okay, it'll be a little, our little secret. Slimeball parlay this year. 34.2% on the slimeball parlay. Got to get better at that. That's something. I mean, listen, parlays are hard to hit. We had a nice run there. We had like three in a row and stuff. Really helped our season and everything. 34.2% of the slime ball hits. You know, a lot of them were good plus money. A couple of them were good. Some of them were like low chalk money. Some of them were even mine. Yeah, low chalk money. So I need to get better at that. And that's something I'm going to focus on. That's something I want to do better at this year is really locking down the slime ball. Green Hammer, 51%. We were dead even with the draw. Came out to 51%. I'm okay with that. First year of tracking the full year of Green Hammer, I don't mind that. Dog lock, my dog locks of the year, 42.5% of the time, my dog locks were right. I would like to get that to 50. It's impossible. You're picking an underdog. You're locking. You're putting a guy. It's a hard number to get. And I was really beating myself on that number. I went over these numbers with a buddy of mine. And he goes, you should be happy with that number, right? And the rest of these numbers are good too. The send them home, 48.7%. Picking props is something that I really want to work on this year, really want to excel and get better at as a gambler. 48.7% on the send them home, almost at 50% predicting when fights get finished. That's pretty good. And my mortal locks are 85%. My mortal lock, 85% all year. We're picking almost 500 fights in every card. I had a mortal lock and we're almost at 85%. The average mortal lock for me this year was a little up compared to the years prior. This was my best mortal lock year, but they have been up a little bit. My average was about 300. This year, they went up to about 365. So I am picking fairly chalky guys, but 85% of the mortal locks, that tells me going forward, I need to really trust my mortal locks and kind of get away from chasing the plus and really go for, I'm so fucking sure of this. Let's put big units on this and chip away as opposed to chasing a 900 or whatever. And then my dog pick percentage, not my bets or anything like that, my dog pick. So of all the fights I picked this year and every underdog I picked, I was 35.6% of the time I got my underdogs right, right? Out of all the dogs I picked this year, 35% of the time I was right. 35.6. Again, you can round up to 36 if we want our secret. Don't tell me. Units, we're down 900. We're down 9. Almost, it was like 953 is what we're down. Little upset by that because my numbers are pretty good. And obviously your prick percentage and all this and all these shit doesn't matter when you're live betting and you're getting some stuff untracked. And you're just, this is my first year being able to do it, you know, live betting with Ohio. So I kind of went a little crazy in the beginning, you know, risking a lot and not really getting a lot out of it. And yeah, so that number needs to go up, right? Minus $900 on the year is not great. But again, my first year live betting, and I need to do better of not chasing. I mean, that's the thing, right? You want the 900s. You want to share those plus 900 tickets on Twitter, and everyone look at you, and you just bask in the glory. You want that. You want to call your fucking shot on a big plus number. The reality is those big plus numbers, the 900s, you're not putting a full uni on those. You're sprinkling. So yeah, you're hitting plus 900, but you're only getting, you know, whatever in return. It's a nice, I'm not complaining, but then when you put multiple units on like a minus 155 and that loses, you can't celebrate a plus one, plus 900 little sprinkle when the multi-unit play that you thought was going to win lost. And I think that's what happened to me this year is a multi-unit play for me, my wrong reads. I started chasing the plus money and yeah, sometimes I'd hit these numbers and other times I wouldn't. And then you're down, right? And that's the name of the game, though. That's why it's gambling. That's why it's bad. That's why I love it. That's why you never can sit here and hear me say I'm a professional gambler. There's a lot of people. Not really. There's about two guys on the Anik and Florian YouTube comments that are very upset that I'm on the show because I'm not a professional gambler. John has never called me a professional gamer. I have never called myself a professional gamer. I have never even said I'm the best. Check the tapes, bro. I've never sat on this microphone and told you, listen to me, I'm the best, right? Never. It's never happened. I've said Cody Saftick was the best, right? And there's other guys on Twitter who are professional gamers who get very upset when you don't acknowledge that they're professional gamers. I'm not a professional gamer, right? I work basically a full-time job. I got a wife and two kids. And I do this in the Anakin Florian because I fucking love it. I'm grinding on it. This is what I do. This is fun for me. I never, ever get offended if someone comes out in your picture. Oh, shit. Well, buddy, you're not paying for anything. You're not paying. Don't listen to me. I openly tell you to fade me at times, which you should, right? Sometimes you should. I'm the most upfront guy when it comes to I didn't do enough research for this one. I didn't watch enough. I'm not fake. I'm not phony about it, right? So, but we're going to get better, right? My main goal is to be entertaining, to provide some laughter maybe if you think I'm funny or whatever. I don't sit in front of you because, like, if you're a professional gambler, let me just spell this out for everyone out there who doesn't think this is true. If you're a professional gambler and you are up multiple units a day, right, and you do this for a living, there's a good chance you're not sitting in front of a podcast every single week, and really, too, my own show and Anakin Florian, and telling people what to bet. You keep that shit to yourself. You don't tip the public to what the lines you're hopping on, right? You just don't do it, you know? And the guys that are professional gamblers, they get in front of the camera, and a lot of them are fucking duds, right? I'd rather watch paint dry. I'd rather watch my grandmother take a shit than watch these guys talk about fighting because they're so monotone. Are they right? Maybe. Maybe they got great advice. Maybe the picks are all money. But you're boring. You know what I mean? So we got to clean that up. I'm not a professional gambler. I'm a professional clown. And I'm not a professional clown. You know what? I've always said if you got paid for something, you're a professional. You know, hate to spoil the party, boys. I don't get paid to do this show. This show is not affiliated with anybody. MMA Takes right here, baby. We're a lone wolf. But I do get paid to be on the Anakin Florian. Okay? Your boys get checks. So... am I a professional gamer? No, I'm not. I'm a professional clown, okay? Not a professional gamer. All right, so I got the MMA tips, boop, printed sheets right here. Man, they go into detail, don't they? They go into fucking detail. So I've been doing MMA tips for 3 years. The first year I had it, I did like 6 track bets. The second year, I think I did like 50. And then this year, Tatum took over. This past year, excuse me, 2020. She took over and did everything for me. And again, we tracked every pick. And not bets, just pick, because that was easier than me going, oh, here's what I want to bet or whatever. And I don't know if we'll change that up. I don't know if I'll have more communication with her. I've not spoken to her about it. You know, make it a little more easier and a little more realistic. Because right now we're down. If someone pulled my MMA tips page and they go, this guy's a fraud. Don't listen to him. He stinks, right? Again, cool. I'm not selling any bets and I'll never sell picks. But, you know, my unit's profit is -31.57 and my ROI is -5, you know, and that's what happens when you do a full year of tracking every pick and not bet. You know, I went from, let's see, so my straight picks overall, I was at 58% wrong, 42% on my straight picks. My props, 29% right, 71% wrong. And then my parlays were 21% right, 39% wrong. All negative units, no profits whatsoever. And then this was interesting. This is an interesting stat right here of the events I've won. Winning events, 22. Losing events, 34. No, that was overall. Excuse me. Because, again, we've been tracking for three years. So this year, 2023, past year, whatever, I won 15 events. And I lost 26 events, 37%. So, yeah, you know, I don't know what I've decided yet. This is really cool information, better than the tips. That's pretty cool. And again, thank you for Tatum for taking care of that. But I don't know what we're going to do. If I'm going to let Tatum know, here's what I want bets, maybe quit being a lazy fuck and do it myself. That's obviously a real possibility. But, you know, I always see online guys pull these stats. And they're like, you stink, you're a phony. And it's like, yeah, dude, what? Like, sorry. I mean, what do you want me to say? I just exposed it there. I'm not hiding the numbers. I'm telling you what it says. You know what I mean? I'm not charging anything. I'm not fraud of the night. I'm not asking for money ever. I mean, if you want to buy a shirt, go buy a shirt. I mean, takespodcast.com. Cool. Get a sticker. Cool. But yeah, I ain't selling you nothing, man. You know what I mean? I can lose. It's only my own money that I'm losing. Fuckers. That's a hypothetical fight I just got into my head. You saw I worked that out. You ever do that? You're like, I'm going to get an argument with this guy today. I know it. Here's what I'm going to say. And you do the fight in your head of how it's going to play out. And then it never happens. That's what just happened there. That might never even happen, right? People come at me every once in a while, but it might never happen. But I got the fight out of my head. You see what I did there? I'm one step ahead, baby. All right. So let's get to some of the biggest bets, best, worst bets, all that shit. Yeah. So the biggest bet or the biggest dog I hit all year, and I had a really good read on it. I hit him twice this year. So I didn't do an MMA. Sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. I didn't do an MMA Takes award show this year, with Christian and Timbo. We wanted to do it. I never put it together. I had to make graph. It's basically a long list of me taking time off and being lazy. Okay. That's not the goal for 2024. 2024 is to ramp this shit up, but we didn't do an award show because everyone kind of does an award show as well. We had some really funny, cool categories, but alas, we didn't do it this year. But my biggest dog of the year is Nicholas Dobby. Plus 425 over Bonfim. And then he hit earlier, and I didn't write the name down, but he hit as a dog again in 2023 at like plus 200. And I bet him both times. The Bonfim fight, I bet him kind of heavy. So that was a really solid win for me by Nicholas Dobby. So he's the dog of the year. You know what I mean?
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
Again, it's a dog. And let me get a vote of... I don't know if I can do a poll on YouTubes or whatever. I think I can do it on Spotify. But if you want me to update the soundboard, because I've been tweaking with things that I want to do for 2024 to keep the show fresh and everything. So let me know if you want to, and I've been looking for sounds and I got some sounds already downloaded and written down and all that stuff. So let me know if you want a total switch out or if you like the current, you know, you're going to miss some of the stuff. Maybe I can sprinkle some new ones in. Keep some old ones. Let me know. I'm going to put a vote up somewhere. Go ahead and vote that. So Nicholas Dobby, dog of the year. Best bet of the year, in my opinion, something that I was on from day fucking one when the fight got announced. I gave this out on the show. And if I had better production, I would throw the clip in on when I said it. Was Dustin Stolfus by sub plus 900. That was a plus 900 hit that I felt in my soul. And this is another one of those times where I felt it and I didn't put enough juice on it. So it was a nice hit, but it could have been a way better hit. You know what I mean? And that is something that I'm going to really have to trust my instincts on the new year with. But Dustin Stolfus by sub plus 900 was great. A complimentary bet for that is Joe Pyfer by sub plus 500 as well. Had that in my loins. Felt that in my guttural right down here. And then my worst bet, and I don't know if it's a worst bet. It's my worst feeling bet on the year. There's a lot of nominees for this because I put out a lot of bad bets. Boys, I put out a lot of bad bets. But the worst one, because I was so confident on Ankin Florian. I was so confident on my own fucking show. Confident to strangers DMing me. And to this day, I don't think I'd ever switch my pick. And I went heavy. I went multi-units. Robert Whittaker. 5-unit loss over Dressus Duplessis. Right. A lot of people had Whittaker winning that fight. I get it. It's not like it's like this. But man, I had never even thought about Duplessis winning that fight. It never crossed my mind, which is scary, right? I'm supposed to play both sides. I'm supposed to look at it. That just let myself down because I lost a lot of money. I told so many people about it. I lost the slime ball parlay as well on top of the 5 units. And it just, yeah, it's just, that's the one that stings me. That's the one that's written down in stone. That's the one that's circled that has stung me this past year. So that's the recap of 2023. I'm not going to get super in depth. We're down 9 unis. And, you know, we got to get back. We got to get back on the horse. And we're going to do that in a week's time. 13th, we got some decent fights coming up. The 20th, we got some fights. And we're off and rolling, baby. We're off and fucking rolling. That is going to be... that's it. That's the bet recap right there. So some shout-outs. Shout-out Matt Frivola. Having a baby. Awesome. I'm a big advocate of fatherhood. I know Matt a little bit. We've texted a little bit. We're very friendly. I think we can call each other friends. Met him and his father in Nashville. great people. They are from where my mother's from, so I got that Long Island bond. Great dude. Him and his wife just announced that they're having a baby in June, which is when my first daughter was born. So me and Maddie Frivola, we fucking the same month, babe, right? We got our ladies pregnant in the same month. What's up? You know, the pros and cons of Brian Petrie. Fat head. Boop. Negative units on the air. Boop. Pro. Fucks the same month, Matt Frivola. That's a fucking pro. Put that in your pros and cons list because goddamn, June babies are the best. So shout out Frivola. Shout out my buddy Steve. Let me tell you about this guy, right? So he has been my very best friend since second grade. Met him in second grade. We've been very, very good friends. I've always been on this podcast telling you I like people who think differently than me. Like my buddy Austin and I don't agree eye to eye. I like different things because if I hang around someone who thinks exactly like me, it's going to drive me nuts. Steve and I have been friends in second grade, over 30 years now. We have never once gotten an argument. We are definitely different people, but we have the same ideals. We have the same moral compass. He's the best dude I ever know, right? And I think I told you on the podcast, I think I said it on here. He got diagnosed with colon cancer. It runs in his family. His dad got it the same month, same year. Same month, same age as Steve. Like it just, unfortunately, Steve knew this was coming and it came for him. He had surgery December 7th and they found, they knew they had one mass in there. They found a second one. The second one tested positive for a cancer that possibly could spread, even though they said the lymph nodes were good, but this is the type of cancer that can spread. So they had to do more testing. Then I figured out a plan. So we didn't know if he was going to do chemo, which was like the biggest drag for my mother. Just went through chemo. I think everyone knows out there, chemo is just an absolute fucking the worst, right? Lucky and happy to say he does not have to do chemo. He just has to do infusion. He's looking great. I went over there for the fights on the 16th of December and got to chat with him. I haven't seen him in a little bit. I want to give him some space and everything. You know, I'm sure he's been bombarding. He's got a lot of friends. He's a good guy. Went over there and watched the fights with him. I watched most fights with him. That's my guy right there. And I'm just so happy. I mean, this is something that's been weighing on my mind. I was like, 2023 was you know, a 2022 spilling into 2023 was a tough year with my wife having surgery, my mom having cancer, you know, my uncle dying right at the end of 2022, spilling into 2023 with the heartbreak, my sister dying, my grandpa dying the year before that, my father-in-law dying the year before that. And it just, you know, everything was adding up, boy. You know, I was, you know, trying to keep a straight face and trying to keep it, you know, whatever, but things were adding up. You know, it was, I'm only human, right? You only do so much, but, luckily everyone that is around me is so fucking strong that they made me stronger. Steve took that head on, boom, kicked its ass. My mom took it head on, kicked its ass. So, my wife took her surgery on, kicked its ass. So I'm surrounded by incredibly strong people, which only makes me strong, right? And I can't be thankful enough for the people around me. And I have to tell this story because when, you know, I've been thinking about my boy Steve a lot. And I got a lot of good stories. We've been friends for 30 fucking years. I got a lot of fucking good stories. But the one that is my favorite, and I don't think I could ever organically put this out on any, like, Pick'em podcast or anything. So I'm like, when am I ever going to be able to tell this fucking funny story? Well, here's now, right? Because I'm giving him his flowers. I'm telling him I love him for kicking cancer's ass. So anyway, many, many moons ago, about 22, 23, I think I was about 23 years old. So was Steve. I lived in a town in Cincinnati. It's called Cheviot. It's like for the mid-20 crowd, right after college, a lot of bars. Our buddy owned a bar, still does, in like right in the middle of Cheviot or whatever. So we all lived there. I lived there with three of my other buddies. And Steve, at the time, we were talking a lot, but we weren't seeing each other a lot. I don't know if it's because, like, you know, he has a ton of friends and he has other drinking buddies, or if he had a chick and we just didn't really see anything, but we started hanging out a lot again. And then we like, basically I opened a boxing gym in the basement of this house and we called it AVBG, Alta Vista Boxing Gym. We brought heavy bags in. We bought two heavy bags. We bought a double end bag. We have mitts. There's like four or five guys rotating. I mean, obviously it wasn't open to the public, but like, hey, you every time we go out, we would post on Facebook, AVBG. People are like, what the fuck is this? And, yeah, we were doing that for months and we were getting in shape and it was a lot of fun. You know, I had a little bit, this is, kind of like right before big MMA training, and I had a little bit of training. So I was, you know, really into it, and it was fucking awesome. Right. So Steven hanging out a lot, but we didn't really go out and drink a lot. And I had been going out and drinking. This is drinking day, boys. Right. This is me drinking Long Island iced teas. 'Cause I was working out so much, I didn't want to drink beer and get all swollen. So I'm like, Steve-o, go home, change, come back. We'll go up to the Chevy Sports Tavern. That's where my buddy worked. It's now called Game Time. Our buddy, Steve and I, buddy, former roommate of mine, he owned the bar with his brother, still does. Opened another location, very successful. Shout out Kyle. So we go up there, and I tell Steve, Steve goes, I'm buying tonight. Now, up there, and this is another shout out Kyle, because he owned the fucking bar. His salary is based on how much money they make, and yet he cut us deals, and we never paid full price. We ordered so many drinks, and we paid like $20. All we had to do was tip him or the servers or the other bartenders or servers money, and it was a great deal. Great deal. Couldn't afford going to the bar without him. Anyway, Steve's like, I'm paying. I said, that's fine, but here's what we're drinking. Long Island iced teas. And now Steve and I are always been on the same level of drinking. We've never been huge drinkers. We get drunk fairly quickly. But at this point, this has been like 3 months of your boy rocking Long Island iced teas. I was feeling good. So I got Steve on, right? And the bar is packed. It's a Friday night. We're all hanging out. We're all just a good time. A lot of people there we know, blah, 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 blah. And Steve had some buddies come up that, you know, were... I knew them, but like I knew them from school. They weren't like close buddies with me. Anyway, you get the point. So I'm like six Long Islands in. This is probably like midnight at this point, right? And I'm six Long Island in. I got like this much left, and I'm cross-eyed. I'm toast, right? At this point, I lost Steve through the crowd. I was kind of in the corner with this chick some of the night, you know, working my stuff. You know what I mean? Doing dumb things. And I look down at the drink and I go, you know what? This is it. I'm done. I'm cross-eyed. I'm fucked up, right? But with my friends is, if I finish that drink and then didn't drink the rest of the night, they'll be like, this guy needs a drink in his hand. And they'll put it, you know, they'll give you a drink. So I had to baby this and make sure, no, I'm drinking. So anyway, about like 20 minutes after the realization that this is my last drink, I'm fucked up. I walk up, you know, the way that the bar was anyway, it was like a little ramp go down to the pool area. Pool table area, the ramp goes up to the main bar. I look over and Steve isn't a shy guy, right? He'll have a conversation with anybody, you can get along with him, but he's not like outwardly like a extrovert, right? He's not like a dancer guy. And I look at him and he's grinding with a chick in the middle of the bar that's not a dancing area. And you can barely hear the music. And his friends that he invited are on the wall just staring like, what the fuck's going on right now? So I walk over to those guys and they're like, what is up with Steve? He's like, dude, we've been drinking Long Island. I mean, he's over there just fucking, you know, and chick grinding on him. He's loving life, covered in sweat. So then I start talking to the guy. The guy asked me about the boxing. So I start talking about the boxing. Steve comes over. He's like, oh, what are you guys talking about? The boxing? Yeah, VBG. Yeah, man, you should come down in the basement. You know, and he's like throwing hands, punches the guy right in the face on accident. Bust his lip. The guy's like, what are you doing? So he's like, my bad, man. Walks away, stumbles away, covered in sweat. This guy's lips bleeding because he got punched in the face by accident. So I'm like, what is happening? So he disappears for a little bit. For all I know, he took that chick in the bathroom, banged her. He fucking was sleeping in the toilet. I don't know. It was about an hour later, he stumbles up. I'm at the bar and I'm like this. We're waiting for a ride home. I'm half asleep. I finally finished my last Long Island iced tea. Steve comes over and say this is his wallet. And he plops up on the bar and he's just digging into his wallet, right? For like 20 minutes. We don't know what he's looking at. Buddy Kyle, the owner's behind the bar, we're looking at each other and I'm just like, dude, I don't know. And he goes, hey, Smitty, how about we close that tab there, bud? And Smitty the whole time is, you know, fighting the air bubbles, right? Just boom, boom, boom. And out of nowhere comes this guttural demon voice, one more beer. I can't duplicate it, but him and I Kyle looked at each other and he's dead serious. And Kyle's like, all right, here you go. Slides him a Bud Light. Right when he got the Bud Light, our ride was like, hey, we're ready to go. You want to take us home? We live right down the street, or I live right down the street. Steve was staying with me. So Steve goes, yeah, domes the beer, right? So we get in the car and we're talking or whatever. And he's out of it. So we get back to the house. I got to work at 9 a.m. the next day. This is now at like 2. So I give him a pillow. He's on the couch. I go sleep. I wake up. The worst hangover of my life. This is, in fact, the last night I ever cut loose. This hangover was so bad. And I had a couple prior to this where I'm like, I'm not built for this anymore. This was so bad that this was the last night I think I ever really got toasted drunk, right? I've had a couple drinks since then, but never like this. And I could barely walk. I'm laying in the shower. I'm puking in the shower. I get up. I can, you know, I'm 45 minutes late for work or whatever. Steve's dead asleep on the couch. I go to work. I get off at 4. I come home at 4. Steve is still asleep on the couch. The pillow I gave him was a white pillow. It is now yellow. I'm talking yellow because of all the alcohol that he sweated out of himself. He slept on my couch from 2 a.m. to 4 p.m., 4:30-ish p.m. Got up. See you, bros. Left, right? And then weeks later, or probably like a couple days later, he came over and boxed. I'm like, yeah, dude, I mean, I had fucking... And again, I was the pro at the time. I'm drinking Long Island iced teas like every Friday for 3 months. I had 6 and was cross-eyed. So I tell him what he did, doesn't believe me, doesn't remember the punch, doesn't remember the grinding, doesn't remember the one more beer. And I go, yeah, how many Long Islands do you have? I had 6, man. Would you have like 3 or 4? He goes, I had 12. 12 Long Islands. Oh my God. The guy's a maniac. And that guy who drank 12 Long Islands basically off the fucking bench kicked cancer's ass. So do with that with what you will. Speaking about kicking ass, there's a guy, you know, there's a guy out there. So I've had the pleasure of finding out who MMA Guru is. I had only seen clips of him on YouTube. I know he's big on YouTube. I don't follow him on any socials. Not sure if he's like has a huge social presence, but I know he's big on YouTube. Like 300,000 times bigger than fucking what we got going on here. And I think I should like him because he hates Errol Hawani, right? He fucking, yeah, rat. He digs into him, right? I've seen some of his stuff. I don't like how he, you know, if he picks or bets against a fighter, he's very, like, some of the shit he said about Merab, I thought was like a little. Now, if it's a bit, if he's doing a bit, not a bit, I think, but it's different than if he's serious. If he's serious, like, fucking pump the brakes, guy, right? This is a human being. That's a fighter. Anyway, I kind of went down a Reddit rabbit hole with him, and apparently he's this fat dude that is in a wheelchair and, you know, blah, blah, blah. No one has seen anything of him. And then the photo pops up of him with Justice Duplessis. And this motherfucker looks like he's 6'4", right? Justice Duplessis is not a small middleweight. This is dwarfing him. Looked pretty trimmed up. Looked like a big dude, not fat at all. And then he did a podcast where he sat there and he looked big. And then I just saw another video all on Reddit of him hitting some mitts, right? Him hitting some pads. Didn't look half bad, right? Obviously, there's some kind of boxing or whatever training in there. You know, and I'm sitting here thinking like, hey, I'm 37. I got a little platform. I got a bigger platform with Annika Florian. This guy's obviously huge on YouTube. There's not a lot of big dudes in this space. I'm a big dude. He's a big dude. Let's glove him up, babe. What do you say? Why not? Why not? This is my official MMA guru call out. Why not? He's a big guy. I'm a big guy. We can do MMA. We can do boxing. I know he's from England. I don't know if I'm going to fly to England. Be honest with you. Don't like planes. Don't have a passport. But I think that would be a fucking dope fight we could put together. You got Ben the Bane Davis, who I love, right? Who's 5'7", 160 pounds. I don't know if he's that short. He's not as tall as I thought he was. Never met him in person. Great guy. He's going out there and doing jiu-jitsu tournaments with maybe a couple classes of training against a black belt. He's going out there and boxing Anderson Silva's kid. He's going out there calling out fucking Dylan Danis for a boxing match. Like, right, Ben's doing it right. Ben's like fucking fearless, right? I love that shit. And he's getting paid to do this. And he's a big, huge on social media. Again, I love Ben. But I'm like, if Ben can have some fun, let me have some fun. And this guy's way bigger than me. Not physically, I'm saying by his audience size. Way bigger, right? He'll be the A side. I'll happily be the B side. But, you know, and I have nothing against the guy. I just saw him hit mitts. I saw how big he was. And if you look at all the other cappers that are in this space, no one is a big size, I don't think. Maybe I'm missing some people. Hit me up if there's other guys out there that are big. But big dude, he's hitting mitts. I want to fight, you know, before I'm 40. Why not? Make some money a little bit. Get our names out there. Have a little fun. Punch yourself in the face. So again, MMA Guru, this is a friendly call out. If you want to throw down, let's do it, bro. I don't know how old he is though. Like if he's like 22 and I'm 37, I might be fucked, but you know, whatever. But yeah, hey, MMA Guru, I don't watch a ton of your stuff. Maybe I should start. I've seen a lot of the Hawani stuff you do. I love it. but you're a big guy, I'm a big guy. It's the big guy call out, right? So if you want to make some cash, I mean, Boogerbeard, who is amazing on Twitter, funny guy, right? Has his own unique sense of humor, big following, seems like a good, genuine dude too. He's like box like two people at like Karate Combat or something. Like, I feel like we could get this together. So let's have a little fun, huh? Let's have a little fun. And let's, and this is funny, me calling out MMA Guru as I'm sitting here out of shape, double ear infection, can't hear out of my ear, headaches killing me, or my head's killing me with a headache. And here I am calling out someone to fight. I'm a fucker, or whatever. But hey, listen, we should do it. Be a whole lot of fun. All right, last two things here. So we're not as long as I thought, 40 minutes. Not bad. What I want to improve on in 2024, what I want to bring to the podcast, how do I want to get better, right? I'm never happy. I am a bit of perfectionist, OCD perfectionist. I want things to be perfect. And the one way I want them to be perfect is I want to bring an entertaining show. I don't want to be monotone. We talked about it earlier. Some of these professional bettors are just boring through their fucking teeth. Some people might like that. I always want to be entertaining. I always want to be funny. And this is who I am. This is my natural personality. I mean, yeah, sure, I'm turning up a little bit, maybe. But if you've been around me, or if you hang around me, if you ask my friends, I'm a fucking kind of a goofy guy when it comes to this stuff. Doesn't mean I don't take it seriously. It just means that I'm trying to bring seriousness and fun to a thing that is fun. Sports gambling is fun. People forget that. Yes, we're trying to make money, but it is a community and we're trying to have fun with it. We're not trying to kill each other if we lose a bet. We're not trying to go, you gave me wrong information, fuck you and your family. We're not doing that. We're trying to be a community where we're placing bets and we're winning fucking money. And I'm trying to be entertaining for your drives at work. Listen, I'm a driver. All I do is listen to podcasts. Having a nice, good, steady podcast to listen to is great. I get messages all the time like, hey, man, you could drop the podcast. I was at work. I like listening at work. That makes me, I love that because that's how I feel. I'm the same guy. I want a podcast dropped at work so I can listen to it at work. And that's another thing, too. I haven't listened to any new shows in a long time. I used to listen to like pretty much every MMA show that got recommended to me to kind of see what's out there to make sure I'm not copying anybody or parallel thinking with anybody, yada, yada, yada. I haven't done that pretty much all year. This year, I want to make an improvement. I want to do that. Maybe it'll help me. Maybe, you know, someone's out there that's wildly talented and they'll teach me a thing or two, whatever. I'm always trying to get better. That's going to be on the card for 2024 as well. And Not Robot with Just Picks. I've already kind of talked about that. I have notes, by the way. Better at building parlays. We talked about that a little bit. My slime ball percentage was 34.2%. That's upsetting. Parlays are really, really hard to hit. But I need to lock in more, I think. I know I've had better percentages years prior. Obviously, this could have been a down year, what have you. Need to get better at that. I want to get better at that. The slime ball parlay is something that I get asked about all the time. It was kind of like the first thing I really kind of created that people liked, and it was like catchy and whatnot. And I want that to win. I want that to win. So I need to get better at that. And it's not like I'm phoning it in. I'm trying on these parlays. But I'm saying there could be more work done for sure. 100%. There always could be more work done. And I think I'm willing to do that and really start building early. Cause I used to build late in the week and then put it out on the pod late. Day of the pod, finally make it. But I think I just need to start early and really do the research, you know. And it's easier to say that now when there's no fights coming up and you got all this time, but that is something that is a big goal for me for 2024. And then committing to the visual aspect of the show. So I have spent time and hours of my own time learning to edit great video, right? Past couple episodes of this show prior to the end of last year, the editing, the visuals weren't great. I want to get better. I want to present a better product to you. My biggest thing, I get a couple people that hit me up and they go, hey man, what can I do better? Like, what can I do better on podcasting, right? I never give them tips of like, oh, you should do this segment or you should... this is how you should talk or whatever. All I can tell people is, for me personally, audio has to sound good, right? Your audio has to be on point, right? If you're using a blue fucking microphone, you're using AirPod microphones, you're using a computer microphone, that's going to throw me off right there, right? I need crisp audio for me. Again, this is just my opinion. And then when you're watching people, a lot of people watching YouTube are trying to grow the YouTube, you know, trying to hit 2K, this year. And so I want to create like a cool aspect. So I spent even more money on editing software and programs you can plug in to help with the graphics and make everything a little bit more easier. And that's just a manage of, that's just really just trying to figure out time and time management and figuring that out and getting that worked out. So committing to the visual aspect of the show, making it better, you know, camera, lighting, whatever, anything to kind of really bring the show forward and have a distinct look and sound and visual. When you see something, maybe that's not on my show, you see it on another show, you're like, oh, that's MMA Takes kind of has a similar thing like that. I want to be distinct, and I'm still trying to find that. So that is another goal of 2024 of mine. The last goal of 2024 of mine is just to bring a better show consistently each and every week with a really good visual and a really good audio experience. And everyone fucking knows I got a tech ghost. Things don't go right all the time, but goddamn it. I think we can get this done. All right. End the show with my wish list for 2024. Now this isn't, you know, this is just what I wish for 2024. This is top. What do I got here? Four, my Mount Rushmore, whatever you want to say. Top four things that I want to happen in 2024. Okay. Number one, Johnny Eblen in the UFC. Now, I could have went Patchy Mix. I could have went a lot of guys here. The PFL now owns Bellator. There is no 185-pound division in PFL. Johnny Eblen, who to me, next to Patchy Mix and maybe Usman Nurmagomedov, are the guys that should be in the UFC. But I went Johnny Eblen because he doesn't even have a fucking division. Right? If I was his manager, I'd go, UFC, buy us out. Because Johnny Eblen is a fucking stud. I like the way he fights. He's constantly getting better. He's got a great chin. He's got a great motor. He's good everywhere. 185 is wide open in the UFC. The PFL doesn't even have fucking the division. Give him to us. Give us Johnny Eblen. Johnny Eblen in the UFC by 2024 is top of the goal. Do not think that's going to happen because PFL is going to hang on to him. They know they got a star. They just don't have a fucking division. Johnny Eblen isn't the biggest 85er. I don't want to see him go up to 205, but he probably will. They're going to do some catchweight fights that don't fucking mean anything. He needs to be a champ. He needs to be fighting the best in the world. And the best in the world is in the fucking UFC. So Johnny Eblen in the UFC, number one. Number two, I need to see Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill for the 205-pound belt. Even if it's not for the belt, I need to see those two fight. That, to me, screams the most entertaining fight at 205 for me. Pereira, unbelievable. Jamahal Hill is not going to go for takedowns. He is utmost confident in his hands. We all know what Alex Pereira brings. And anybody can doubt Jamahal Hill and say, you'll get knocked out, you'll do this. He's proven people different. He's proven people otherwise. And I would love to see that fight at 205. There's obviously a slew of other fights I want to see. But when I sat down and thought, what's the one fight that I have to see in 2024? It was that fight. That was the fight that first came to my mind. Lightning bolt. Boom. Had to do it. Number three, Tatiana Suarez title shot. I love Tatiana Suarez. Again, her and Patchy Mix got a great thing going. I think I want to see her take a title shot. She'll win the title, guaranteed. She will be champion by the end of 2024. Guaranteed. And she can fucking pick her weight class. I would like for it to be at 115, but if she goes to 125, she wins that too. She can win both titles, right? That's not even like a hot take. That's not even a good take, right? That's like a warm take because everyone sees that. But double champ by the end of the year. How about that? Let me up the stakes. I want to see her be double champ by the end of the year. Tatiana Suarez is that fucking good. And as long as she stays healthy, she is a problem. And the last goal of 2024 for me, my wish list, I said goal, I didn't mean to say goal, wish list for 2024 is for Strike USA Boxing Robot Company to go out of fucking business. Fuck you, you scumbags. I'm going to end angry here. I'm pissed. I ordered this fucking robot. It's 2 months delayed. They were rude to me when I asked about it. I finally get the fucking thing. I don't put it up to after Halloween with my wife, and the fucking thing doesn't work. The arm, the computer is messed up. I videoed it. I sent it to him. The guy says, "Ah, shit, the screen's malfunctioned. My bad, dude. That one must have slipped through. You send it back. I'll fix it. If I can't fix it, I'll send you a new one." Cool. Where am I sending it at? Gives me the address. Hey, don't use the same box so the shipping cost is lower. Am I paying for shipping? Because this isn't my fucking fault. Ignored me. Hey, man, I'm not paying for shipping. Can you please send me a shipping label, whatever? I'll get it shipped out to you. You can send me a new one. I spent $700 on this thing. What are we going to do here? I don't think I should pay shipping. Ignored me. Follow-up email, tell him to go fuck himself. Ignored me. I emailed shop, whatever, that ships through, right? Ignored me. Fuck these scumbags. Fuck them in their ass. I hate them. I was going to do like a CoffeeZilla YouTube expose and share the emails and share everything where this guy admits fault and then not do anything about it. And if I return the fucking thing, I'm paying shipping to return this big ass box to Washington. I'm in the business. That's going to be $100. And then I don't even think he's going to refund my fucking money. So I'm going to keep the thing. I'm going to break the fucking thing on camera and I'm going to tag them and tell them they're a bunch of fucking scumbag crooks. And I hope they go out of fucking business. Fuck you. Woo. I got hot. I've been holding on to that for a little bit. Those fucking guys, man. I have been polite. I have been nice. I've been trying to do what's right. I have asked everyone, would you pay for return shipping on something that they shipped you that they admitted that was broken? Fuck no. Even my friends who never agree with me said, are you crazy? You better not pay for shipping. I'm $700 in hole right now because these fuckers sent me a bum product that doesn't work, admitted that it's malfunctioned, admitted that it doesn't work, and they still won't fix it for me. So they can go fuck themselves. I hope they run themselves in the ground. I hope they go to jail and get their fucking faces fucked, their assholes ripped open. I don't give a fuck. Fuck them. And I think it's one guy. I think it's the same guy that emails me and DMs me because sometimes I don't respond to my email. So I DM him on Instagram. He'll respond there. I think it's the same fucking guy. You little rat fuck. Fuck you. All right. That's it. I got hot. Woo! It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year, baby. I'm fired up. I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. We're having a good time. Pick'em's next week, baby. Anakin Florian, we're recording early next week, so that'll be out probably for my show. We're back in the saddle, baby. We're going to do this. I can't wait. Thank you for the ride. 2024, to me, is going to be the best year yet, in my opinion. To the fucking moon, baby. You guys are the best. I love you. Let's make some picks with our man, Brian Hager. Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Let's make some picks with our man, Brian Petrie.